Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 240. This is part one of part one, Friends. Today is Friday, March 30th, 2012.
Tonight's tape is entitled Friends. This evening, let's examine Proverbs 18 and 24. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Friends. And I thought about this and I thought, well, friendship is the only thing in the world concerning the usefulness of which all men are agreed. We all agree we need friends. It's almost as necessary an element in the world as fire or water or air itself. You all need friends. Oh, probably a man could drag along in a miserable existence in a proud, let's say, solitary dignity. But you know, that's scarcely a life. It's nothing but an existence. To have that proud, I can make it by myself, I don't need anybody attitude. There's no life at all. It's like a tree being stripped of the fruits of joy. It's a lonesome way to go. And so, to be happy, I've come to the very firm conclusion, we do need friends. Hermitizing only leads to a real hard and lonesome dead end. And every day I see people who get into these no U-turns permitted zones. Don't get into that kind of an attitude where you don't allow a U-turn where you can turn around. But anyway, friendships, however, though pleasing, exceedingly blessed, I think has been the cause of the greatest misery of man. The greatest single misery of man, when it has been unworthy and unfaithful. Listen to Psalm 38 and 11. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. In other words, spiritually speaking, my afflictions, my trouble. And my kinsmen stand afar off, my relatives. Well, whatever affection they may pretend to, he's saying, they kept out of his company, they kept away from him. Because you see, he was like a sinking vessel that when it starts to go down, it draws the other boats with it. In other words, they might be made to suffer through his calamities, and they became very scarce. You'll find that throughout your lives. But sometimes when you're in a mess, when you're in trouble, sometimes when you think your ship is sinking, all the little boats will row as fast as frantically away as not to suffer your calamity with you. And then again, it's very hard when those who should be first to come to your rescue are the first to desert you. And my kinsmen stand afar off. Ouch. So this is nothing new. Jesus forewarned of it. In that final hour, brother against brother, sister against sister, daughter against mother, son against father, and so on. And he warned of that hour to come. And so don't get melancholy on me now. Hey, come on now. I mean, there's other scriptures that will lift you to the heavenlies. But see, it all brings you to Jesus Christ, is what I'm going to preach here tonight. And so God knows we can't count on each other, for many times we let Him down. We let Him down all the time. But anyway, I believe David is saying here, I am so miserable that I am left alone, utterly forsaken. They stand back, aghast at my sores. In fact, they are so far back. My trouble, my sore, isn't even seen. So sometimes when it gets too heavy, people will go way back, so far back they can't even see you. Man, I can't see you. And they'll go so far back, they don't want to deal with the situation. And the Bible says, you will be hated in the house of your friends. Are you ready? Or are you ready? Are you going to be one of those in that midnight hour? And in this midnight hour of this time now, when you'll be seeing a lot of Christians in a lot of trouble, and you'll stand back or desert or whatever, you're listening on the radio. And I'm talking to pastors all the time now. Seems like I got a flood of them coming in here. But anyway, I think this is one good way to really check out how much we need grace. That His grace is sufficient. And really, how unworthy we all are. And how far we have to go is to check out what kind of friend we are. But what kind of friend we are under pressure. You know what I mean? Pressure. You know, pressure like a not being able to breathe type of pressure. And so you'll find the friendship of the world a show. And when we get into straits as Christians, sometimes we become very worldly. You can't even tell the difference. Sometimes the world has more love. Because they have to cover up. They don't have scriptures to kind of help them along to be mean with. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. They don't know all of the tricks. They don't know how to wrestle the scriptures. And so it's a mere outward show, like a statesman's promise. Looks good, but it's all very much of a delusion. But I think for the most part, this is true. Shocking, but true. The world's friendship is very brittle. Trust in it, and the Bible says you've trusted in a robber. Rely on it, and you have leaned on a thorn. Even worse, I'll say a spear, which shall pierce you to the soul with agony. Are you hearing this? Sometimes we expect so much. When we don't get it, we're very much disappointed and we fall into total despair. I was talking to Mick before the meeting tonight and I said, you know, one thing we need to maintain after we've been shocked is to find the humor in a thing. And then go at it that way. Because, you know, after the shock, you look at it from a different point of view. There's always some kind of humor in the thing. If you can find yourself in it, I'll guarantee you'll find some humor in it. But oh, how puny our friendships are. Oh, how they show our very lack. Oh, how we need to see this total lack in being a true, loyal friend so that we can begin to be friends, so we can start And so to preach this makes me shrink. To preach this makes me squirm. And to preach this makes me humble. It makes me think of my lack. I want to grow. I want to go on. But how? Why now, after all this preaching, do I feel a lot of the times unloving? I mean, I believe I have come a long way. I do love people. But somehow I know it's very lacking. And so I asked Jesus, Jesus, what is it that's lacking? And so Jesus answers, Paul, if you want to go on, and if you all want to go on, we have to search just a little bit deeper. And the closer you come to me, the greater the light will be, and the more you'll see your malfunction as far as being a friend. The closer you get to a real friend in Jesus, the more you'll see your lack of being a friend. You hearing this tonight? And I think we must all learn, as Solomon, that he did in all of his wisdom, he learned this. The one who sticketh closer than a brother is Jesus Christ. Oh, we read all the time about heroic things brothers do for one another. In the annals of friendship, a brother who stood over his brother's corpse so the enemy wouldn't get it. A brother who stepped in front of bullets to defend one another. Talking about friends tonight. I remember some 35 years ago, my brother was in a bar. And a man was going to fight him after it closed, and my brother could barely walk. And there was another problem there. The bar was full of relatives and friends. Bloodthirsty friends. So I went out back. It was 1 a.m. in the morning, and they all came out, hooting and hollering out of this bar. I believe right then and there that I saved him from a mob beating, maybe even death. And yet Solomon says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And let's tonight look at such a friend, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for some other kind of friend? Well, isn't this a fact? How many here have experienced his great friendship? I have. His faithful friendship. I mean, he's always there and he's always the same. The Bible says he's the same yesterday. Today and forever, he's always the same. Is that an exaggerated truth? No, of course not. The Bible says he loved you before all the worlds, before all the stars, and he has never changed. No, all of you that have tasted the love and know his grace will bear me witness that he is a very faithful, faithful friend. You fell in Adam. Did he cease to love you? No. He became the second, I should say, the last Adam to redeem you. Now we're talking about friends tonight. You sinned in practice and brought upon your own head condemnation from God. And the Bible says you deserve the wrath and his utter anger. Did he forsake you? No. No. He sent his minister after you, and you despised him. He preached the gospel in your ears, and you laughed at him, and you broke God's Sabbath. You despised his word. Did he forsake you? No. And at last, he arrested you by his grace. I arrest you. He took charge. You were saved by his arresting grace. You broke the law. And Jesus Christ arrested you for breaking the law. And his mercy saved you and took you out from under the law and brought you under the umbrella of grace, which will never leave you and never forsake you. Now, I don't care what you guys are preaching on the radio. I don't understand it. I'm hearing a lot of this on the radio. A lot of legalism that Jesus came to do away with. Yet you'll hear it all the time. I guess they don't know who a real friend is, a friend in Christ Jesus. Maybe you'll never know. He made you penitent. He brought you to His feet. He forgave you all. Now, you didn't come by yourself. He first loved you. Okay, now let's get that settled tonight. You didn't decide to get saved because you were so nasty. You were so nasty, so you had to be saved. And you didn't want to be saved even then, but He saved you. He arrested you by His grace. He has ways of doing it. Don't ask me the mysteries of God. He knows how to do it. And even then, you have often left Him. Has He ever left you? Never. Never left you one time. Never. Well, a lot of times you don't call upon His name. Doesn't mean He isn't there. And you've had all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulation. Has He ever deserted you? And I want answers here tonight. No, He hasn't. Has He ever turned away His heart? Has He ever, the Bible says, shut up His bowels of compassion, mercy? Never. No, I think, children of God, it is your solemn duty to say no, emphatically no, and to preach that and to go on out and tell the world no. And bear witness to His very faithfulness. Maybe you've been in some severe affliction, even this week. Maybe you've been in some dangerous circumstances. Did your friend ever desert you then? No. Others have been faithless to you. He that eateth bread with you has lifted up his heel against you. Can you say, Master, Thou hast betrayed me? No. Could you dare say to Him, Lord, Thou hast promised what Thou didst not perform? No, you cannot. Will you not bear witness now that the Lord is faithful? Well, you were saved. Did He leave you? You were baptized. Did He leave you there? You have stood many times before the throne room of God. Did He ever deny you there? The answer is no. No, He is a friend that sticketh closer, it says, than a brother. And out of all the millions of God's redeemed, He has not forsaken one. Now, I don't care what you're hearing on the radio, and there's a lot of mishmash there. He has not forsaken not one soul that's been redeemed by the blood. Poor they have been, not forsaken. Mean, disgusting, unreasonable, unattentive, argumentative, rebellious, gossipy, murderous, hateful, unbelieving, conniving, competing, but He has never left them. No, not one. His mercy, it says in the Bible, endureth forever. See, when you start to get pickled in what a real friend is, you aren't going to worry about all these other friends. Although it's important that we do have friends, we're going to place all the importance on it. We have one that's always faithful. Do we all agree here then tonight, you listening on the radio, that He is faithful? That Jesus is a faithful friend? How many agree on that one? So, okay, let's go on now. I think then here are some of the reasons why it is dependent upon Jesus Christ as being a faithful friend. Here are some of the reasons. I think there are some things in Himself which render it certain that He will stick close to His people. True friendship can only come from true men. Their hearts are the soul of their honor. Oh, hey, I don't know what it is nowadays. Well, I'm not going to go back and say it used to be this way, and I think there's still some of that. But there used to be, it seems to me, when you had a friend, he was a friend. Now, I don't know, what's happened to that? What's happened to that loyalty? Oh, radio audience, I think we need to examine our hearts. How faithful are we to a faithful friend? How far will you go to be a friend of Jesus? How much will you give up? How much will you render unto God? Nowadays, it seems like it's not too important to be a friend. Use people, have roommates. What happened to it? I don't know. In my family, I remember back during the war, and it was in a soldier's town. If one would attack my dad or my mother or my brother or my sister, we had a hog pile. I mean, the whole family got out there. Whatever happened to that kind of loyalty? I don't know. Where did it disappear to? Well, you say, what's the world coming to? The world is coming to hell. It's gone to hell. Now, I think we need to really get a hold of this thing and examine this. I'm hearing things out there. The other day, we were making these forms out, and they said, well, do you make forms? You ask, do people really need food? And they have all these questions for the poor. Oh, well, I said, we got something in common here. We're dirt poor and you're filthy rich. We're much the same, but the only thing is we don't question you. Where did you get your money? How did you get your money? Do you need more money? Why do you need more money? Are you sure you need more money? Jesus is going to ask those questions. Why is it we're so hard on the poor? Why do we leave them out there with no friends, so friendless to them? We don't want to show them any kind of friendship. How did you ever get in this condition? Well, sir, mister, highfalutin, fancy pants, how did you get up there, Sir Fonderoy? Let me ask that question, and I'm not asking it out of a bad heart. I'm asking a question. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. How did you get that way? How did you get so stinking friendless? Now, I'm asking you, and I'm giving you a chance to repent here and check out your own friendship. Do you mind if I come over and do a survey on you, sir, and go through your house and check out your banking and go through the whole thing? How did you gain this wealth? Do you deserve this much wealth? What are you going to do with this much wealth? Well, I really don't care, but don't ask these friendless people out here if they deserve a scrap of bread. That kind of sticks in my old craw. You know what the craw is? Now, we're talking about friendship here. I mean, bad men can only pretend to love one another. But their friendship, I believe, is as fragile as February ice in Minneapolis. Pretty fragile right now, isn't it? 50 degrees. Cry your hearts out, Florida. Israel. People are running over to Israel. It's cold over there, snowing! Huh? No. See, if a man's heart is true, then you may confide in him. How many people can you think of that you can really confide in? Now, you know, if I've learned anything in my 54 years, I've learned from my mother in the very beginning, she told me, she says, don't tell everybody everything about yourself. In the first place, they really don't care. In the second place, they'll probably use it against you. Find yourself a faithful friend and stick with that friend. Or tell it to your parents, but nowadays you can't hardly even talk in your own home. You never know if they're going to use it against you or not. Come on now. Come on. How many here, is this strange to yours? How many know what you're talking, what I'm talking about here tonight? Ooh. Now, only if a man's heart is true, then you may confide in him. Even when we pray sometimes. We let the cat out of the bag. Lord, I have to mention this. Lord, we did this pray for so-and-so. Lord, he did this sin and that sin and that sin and so on. And Lord, we have to tell you so you can deal. The Lord knows. You don't have to draw pictures for God. You don't have to run a movie, an X-rated movie, through your prayers. Whatever happened to friendship? Did the charismatic movement bring in more friendship and more love? No. No, it's not a movement, it's Jesus Christ. Say amen, somebody. Do we love more because we speak in tongues? Definitely not. Sometimes you can use that. Say we have love. Does prophesying over people make us better friends? No. Sometimes we use it to others' destructions. No, I want to get down to the basics here. I want to get down to the very basics here. Like I said Sunday, I think a fruit of the Spirit is work because it's not a fruit of the flesh. Nobody wants to work. When you see somebody working, they're moved by the Spirit. They're not moved by their flesh. They're not motivated. Well, even the Bible says, you can have all these things, but you don't have love. You're nothing. You're just a gong, clanging cymbal. So let's move away from being so spiritual and just get down to the basics here and be a friend. Is that basic enough? But I mean, who can find a stain in Jesus' character? Does he not stand in heaven, the true witness, the faithful, it says, and the just? Is he not the God that cannot lie? Is not his very goodness the guarantee of his fidelity? He cannot fail us. Faithfulness to us in our faults is the certain, I believe, sign of fidelity in a friend. Do you have a friend like that tonight? Someone you can count on? I mean, they just about do anything and they'll still be your friend. God, how we need to cultivate that and how we need to become Christ-like and just being... And then let's just put all these spiritual gifts aside. Now, I believe it's passed over. I really do. I think that age is past. And people have gone into so much phoniness that we need to lay aside those things and we need to look at the very basics, like being a friend. A dog even knows how to do that. And all you got to give him is a bone or some gravy train. Well, you may depend on a man that will tell you of your faults in a kind of a considerate way. But that's not being a friend. A friend is a friend when he warns you of the danger ahead. Don't do it! And maybe you'll even get mad at him. But fawning hypocrites, let's say insidious flatterers, are plastic friends. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that, gee, you look nice today. I just love your hair and so on like that. And in the back of the mind saying, gee, I hate her guts. Can't stand her. Think she's so smart. Fawning, hypocritical phonies. Insidious flatterers, plastic friends, I said. sort of a Maybelline people. You know, Maybelline Cosmetics. In a good spiritual rainstorm, what happens to them? Their face leaves. They're a mess. Look like some kind of a ghoul. Oh, I hope you're listening on it. Send your cards in there. Phone! Call! It's not spiritual enough for you. It's the truth. But I know it'll be a friend. It'll start out with a friendly letter, "Dear Pastor Paul," and that'll be phony too, won't it? It'll be about that fat, and it'll burn your hands before you even open it up. I love you in Jesus, but a few things I thought I might drop on you, a few atom bombs that you might need. Now, someone has got to get down to the very basics and down to the nitty-gritty where the tire hits the road and scratch a little gravel, raise a little dust, throw a little mud. Because true friends put enough trust in you to tell you openly of your faults. One who won't run all over the place telling this one and that one what he doesn't like about you. Sometimes when preachers do preach the truth, people thank him for it. But they won't like him any better for it. Now, I used to evangelize, and I used to go out, and I'd drop my bombs, and I could leave. But see, when you're in church and you preach truth, it's a little different story. Oh, that was such a good message. Oh, I feel I'm going to change. Oh, I repent and everything. And then you just leave. Great big sack of money, and everything was fine, see? But you stay in one place and be a friend that sticks and sticks and just keeps right on sticking and tells the truth. Well, that's a little different story, isn't it? I've called out where I'm at tonight here, haven't I? I'm saying let's get realistic. Let's lay aside all of our spirituality. And I believe that movement is totally dead. Honest to God, I really believe it's dead. And praise God for it too. It needed to die a couple years ago. It's got so many puffed up people walking around. They're floating 4 feet up off the ground. Now, it isn't that bad, but there's a stink to it because it's that old air in there. How many are hearing this? My God. And we just need to come back to the very basics. We need to cultivate being a friend, not cultivate ourselves for more spirituality. How can you be spiritual when you can't even be a friend? When you can't even prove yourself to be friendly? No, I think praise is a thing we all love. And I think it's all right if we don't live for it. Have you ever seen somebody living for praise? Living for praise. Center stage. Got to be center stage all the time. Stand waiting for it. Sometimes you'll see that with musicians. You ever seen that? When they'll get all done and they'll sing the song. And I wasn't enough of that atmosphere as a young person. And they'll get all done singing the song, and then the hands go down like this, and they go. Fawning. And then wait until every clap is drained out of everybody. We don't need that. People don't even sleep sometimes if it doesn't come their way. Praises of men. Well, I wouldn't sleep at all as of late if I was waiting for the praises of men. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus has become very dear to me. Are you hearing this? I guess that's when you know more about Jesus. when you get close to a friend. How are you ever going to learn how to be a friend unless you get close to one? That's the trouble. We don't want to get close to one another. Might cost us something. No, Jesus never flatters us. No, he tells us our faults truly. Does he not prick you in your conscience on things you thought to gloss over? Conveniently not to mention them? Whitewash them? Like little secret sins? Like little mads we have? Has he not provoked your conscience with 100-piece band in your ears? Notes of terror because of your misdeeds? Well, then you may trust him because of his faithfulness, which makes him very trustworthy. You know when you do wrong, you get that prick in your conscience, and it's like a 100-piece band, and they're roaring in your mind. You can't even hear what people are saying. You're so busy. And your friend is trying to get your attention. The bugles start up and the band starts up. Da-da-da-da-da-da. The drums beat. Toot-toot-toot-de-beat-de-beat. Bang, clang, boom, bang. And you can't even hear anybody. Why? Jesus, your friend, is trying to tell you something. Look out, you're going too fast. He's trying to tell you something. But we're so busy with all of that band going on and all of that confusion going on in our mind, Jesus can't get through. And so you may trust him because of his faithfulness. That 100-piece band you're hearing, that confusion that you're going through right now, is because you're pretending that you don't hear it. And so you see, there are reasons within himself for which we may trust him.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was part one of part one, Friends. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday, Palm Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.